Sheila Singh, your podcast host, and I'd like to welcome you to the My Brand HQ podcast, all things personal branding for career acceleration. This podcast is for talented, ambitious career professionals like you who are wanting to be perceived as a thought leader, to be top of mind to those that matter, and to make an impact and stand out, be that in your team, your organization, or your industry, and to be inspired by other successful leaders. I will be interviewing high-achieving career professionals who have carved out a successful career in their field and are open to sharing their career journey, their challenges, their learnings and insights with you, someone who is looking to establish your personal brand and accelerate your career. Through my personal branding and coaching practice, I enable career professionals, primarily in the technology industry, to earn more money, to increase their salary. In fact, I spoke to all of my past clients that I've worked with over several years and learned that actually overall, they've received an average of 47% increase in their package. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? They've also all achieved at least one, if not more, promotions or moved on to a higher level in their career at another organization. And they're looking to advance their career while showing up as the best version of themselves. If this sounds like you, then do reach out to me and let's have a chat. And why do I do this? Well, during my corporate career spanning 25 years, I quickly realized that hard work alone was not enough to get me to where I wanted to be and the success that I strive for. And my belief is that hard work coupled with creating and establishing a strong personal brand can both influence and accelerate your career and get you to where you want to be. In this week's show, I want to share with you a recent episode from My Brand TV, a conversation with Fabio Marama. Your personal brand is multifaceted. Facets include three core areas: human potential, the way that you show up in person, from your brand identity to your confidence, presence, your communication style, and your circle of influence, culminating in your personal leadership. The second is social presence online. In other words, your presence, engagement, and impact online, as well as your followers and your connections. The third is your self-image, your style, how you dress, and the colors that you wear. My brand is primarily about human potential, enabling tech industry professionals to show up as the best version of themselves, in turn getting promoted and maximizing earnings potential. When we hear about personal branding, more often than not, people think about their social presence. And as a career professional, that typically focuses on LinkedIn. In this episode, Fabio will be sharing with us the importance of LinkedIn for managing your personal brand to advance your career. He will share his passion for helping others with LinkedIn and the importance of building online relationships, and how you can do that. He'll also look at how you can elevate your brand using LinkedIn, including how to leverage your content and to optimize your profile. We look at the importance of social presence and online reputation management, building affinity and a loyal following, and also why emotional intelligence is essential to your career development, and ultimately the power of connection. Fabio Marama is one of Canada's top business and marketing professionals. He has built one of the most highly engaged personal brands on LinkedIn and is the founder of Experts Altitude, a top 40 under 40 business achievement award winner, a video content creator with more than 10 million views and a community of thousands of entrepreneurs and professionals. Fabio has been mentioned in top publications like Forbes and Social Media Examiner. He has guest appeared on multiple top 100 podcasts and is endorsed by global influencers like Jay Shetty. Let's head over and hear what Fabio has to say. What is it that motivates you to really help people with their LinkedIn profile? What are you passionate about?
Yeah, I'm passionate about LinkedIn. It's one of my favorite things. I never would have thought it would have been, but obviously it developed into that. Like you, Leila, I love personal branding, but I love it how you can use a platform like LinkedIn to really elevate the game in your career. And this is exactly what we're talking about today. You know how those that are in their career, it doesn't matter if you're in a entry-level position, a management position, mm-hmm. wherever you want to get to, LinkedIn can really actually help you get to that next level. And it can be a huge piece for you, which is why I'm so passionate about it. And that's actually how I started out. I started out on LinkedIn. I mean, I had a profile for probably, I don't know, 10 years or so, 12 years. I never really used it. And like many people maybe here, I would say probably not on the live, but some people here, you maybe were in the same boat. Maybe you had a profile, you never really used it. You logged on twice a year, and you never really saw the huge value in LinkedIn other than when you were maybe applying for a new job or searching for a new job or something like that. And I like to say that was old LinkedIn. People used to really only treat it as it's just for job seekers, recruiters. It's my online resume. And it's so much more than that now. And so about 3 years ago, I really knew that there was something different. And that was when I started seeing content. I was on the platform more regularly, just kind of checking things out. And I started seeing more content, more people writing than ever before. And at that point, it was still pretty small. There was a small community of creators really using LinkedIn, not from a job seeker and recruiting standpoint, but from like a personal branding standpoint. How can I share my expertise, share what I love beyond just my job? You know, what am I passionate about? What am I good at? And what skills can I bring to the table? I started seeing things like, culture and personal branding and marketing and emotional intelligence. And I just started seeing all this expertise of people talking about things that was so interesting. Got me to really hop on and dive into that community a lot more. And just through a lot of trial and error, through a lot of hours on the platform, got to know how the platform worked and how to leverage community, how to build community, and how to use it to leverage your LinkedIn for your career as well. So I really dove head first in and had the opportunity to build obviously a community now of about 30,000 people. Being able to be mentioned in top publications because of LinkedIn, nothing else. LinkedIn was the reason for that. And just being able to open doors that I never thought I would have been able to open. It gave me so many opportunities than ever before through getting viewed over 10 million times through content, talking to high-level decision makers. I like to say LinkedIn's the backdoor entrance to meeting some of the most amazing people in the world, and it's so untapped. And just because of that, that made me passionate about it because I thought, this is so interesting. There's not a lot of people that are really truly leveraging the platform. They're logging on a couple times a month, and they're not really seeing its true potential. So that's what got me passionate about it and why I love LinkedIn, because the opportunities that await for every single person if you truly dive in and stay consistent with it.
I love everything you just said then. I'm curious to know, when you say about opening doors, creating opportunities, can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. I like to say this. I had zero connections with I knew nobody internationally as well. And this could be locally. You may be like, I'm just looking for more local decision makers. That's totally fine. I wanted to start touching base with people that were international, that had high levels of influence or decision makers, or they are media writers, or I had zero connections. And in the world of information, especially at our fingertips, it actually is an amazing opportunity to use that information to connect better with people, to relate to people, to build rapport. Never before are you able to do that as easy as you are today. And so I thought, okay, that's one of my strengths. One of my strengths is building relationships with people and connecting with people. How can I leverage that, that strength of mine in a very positive way? And then I thought, well, I have all this information on people. I can see what they like, what they post. I can see what writers are writing about on top publications. I can go connect with them on LinkedIn and go say, hey, great article on this. So I just started doing that. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start with how do I attach myself to a larger voice? And maybe you're here and you're thinking, I just want to get a better job and build my personal brand a little bit. Well, you got to think a little bit as well in terms of how can you expand your voice? Because you're only one person. How do you have more advocates in your corner? How do you have more people that have larger communities be advocates of your personal brand as well and your presence on LinkedIn. So I decided, okay, how do I bring other people along for the ride and get them to see, you know, what I'm doing? And I think at the end of the day, marketing is really about attention, and we all should be marketing ourselves as well. And it's, how do you generate attention in a positive way and get people to see you? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're landing a job, it doesn't matter if you're building a business or what have you. It's all about know, like, and trust. How to get people to know you? Well, you got to get eyeballs on you, right? How to get people to like you? Well, that's through your content and get people to talk about you and, you know, engaging back and forth with them. And how to get them to trust you? Just consistency, right? They continue seeing you. They see you as a thought leader. You're showing up with genuine conversations, and that's how you build trust, right? So I needed to do more of that. And I didn't have any trust with people yet. And I didn't even get people to know me yet. So I decided, I just started an article. It was one of the most interesting starts. I just started an article. And I created an article called The Incredibles. If you know The Incredibles, they are superheroes. They're the superheroes. And it was a fun play off of LinkedIn, The Incredibles. And I have a graphic design background, so I was able to leverage a high resolution picture of The Incredibles. And I actually Photoshopped them in LinkedIn suits. And and I actually wrote a whole article on that, a longer form article. And I said, you know, here are the Incredibles of LinkedIn. Here are the people saving the platform from what it used to be and bringing it to sort of this new future of content and writing. And I talked about, here are the changes to the platform, what I was seeing. And I added a list of, here are the Incredibles. And it was a list of probably 40 to 50 influencers on LinkedIn at the time who were building communities much bigger than me. In different spaces, career, business, you name it, but had very large communities. And I tagged them all in it. I said, you are the Incredibles. And that was the Kickstarter for me. That article, I think 90% of those folks engaged on it, commented, liked, or even shared it and reached back out to me and said, this was one of the best articles I've ever read. It was so creative. And I think for me, that was the turning point of, like, I've got the know down. If I show up in their feed, they'll know who I am. And then was just able to continue, you know, creating content, building content with them, asking, hey, let's do a collaboration. Let's jump on a, you know, a video together. And there was trust there. And through that, you know, was able to build a larger community through them as well. And I thought, that's the power of connection. You need that in your career as well. How do you get other people to be advocates for you? So that's one example of how I started reaching larger communities. And then I just realized, you know, okay, if I can reach people just through a simple post like that, well, I can reach anyone, right? So I have all this information on people. I can see who they, you know, what their backgrounds are, what they like. And so I just started connecting genuinely with people. And I also leveraged content for that. So I thought, okay, let's swing a little bit bigger. I decided to create a post. And I noticed, actually, the co-founder of Forbes.com, Miguel Forbes, had just joined LinkedIn, and he had posted and said, hey, you know, this is my first time here. I don't really use LinkedIn, but, you know, I'd love to learn about, you know, what this space is all about. And he had, you know, good engagement on his first post. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do a post, and I'm going to shout him out, and I'm going to welcome him to LinkedIn. So I did a post. I tagged him. I said, Miguel Forbes, welcome to LinkedIn. Here are the people that, you know, would be helpful to you to see. Their content's great. Here's what LinkedIn used to be. Here's what it's all about now. And anyway, that post got over 1 million views. And he reached out to me and said, this was fantastic. And again, another post that, like, I thought, if I can talk to the, you know, DM and have a conversation back and forth with the co-founder of Forbes.com, could that open opportunities for me? Absolutely. Could that, you know, lead to business opportunities or career opportunity? Absolutely. Or just other great connections. And he did a couple posts over the next month or two after that, where he said, I've, you know, just jumped on LinkedIn. I've seen such an incredible community. Here are some people that I've met that have been so great. And I was on that list. And I thought, that would never have happened if I didn't genuinely reach out. So that was one. And that just led to me, you know, creating more articles and content, highlighting other people, serving other people. And that's where I ended up reaching out to someone like Jay Shetty. And I said, hey, I want to do an article on you. And the cool thing about LinkedIn was, you know, it's a little bit busier today. 2 years ago, there wasn't a lot of people doing content. So I like to say is while everybody was lining up on Facebook and Instagram and lining up at Jay Shetty's DM door, I was here on LinkedIn and nobody was there. And I sent him a message and he was on once in a while and sent him a message and he said, yep, sure, let's do this article and let's do this interview. So decided to do it through video and he really enjoyed it, enjoyed the article, engaged back on it. And then from there, you know, it was able to get some amazing opportunities, like shout outs from him on, you know, some speaking summits that he was doing. And that was just a testament to just the work that I put in of building relationships, building rapport with people and using content as a way to connect with high level influencers, decision makers as well. So those are just a couple stories of opening doors of opportunity for me. And then actually when I first started, I ended up actually getting a new job at the time, about 3 years ago or 2 years ago or so through just posting content. And I had a chief reach out to me and say, hey, we'd love to hire you, seeing the stuff you've been doing on LinkedIn. And, you know, I think you'd be great for this role. So that again, was another opportunity to open through content and through LinkedIn, and never would have happened otherwise.
Amazing. Amazing. And what I'm hearing there is about innovation, being innovative and being strategic as well. Yep. About what you're doing. So for people who are working in organizations, what could they do then to kind of mirror something similar to what you have done in their industries?
Yep. I'm a huge advocate for, you know, posting content about your company in your space. And here's the thing. I get it. You might be sitting here and you're thinking, I am scared to no end. Am I going to get fired? If I post content, what's my boss going to think? You know, are they going to think, why are you trying to look for a job? You know, are you trying to, you know, scan for recruiters? No, like you're just trying to, and you could be posting about the company or about the industry, which is what I would say, either industry-wide, if you have a passion for something. So here's two things you can do. I'll step back in a minute. You could either be posting about your company and or the industry that you're in. So let's say you work for, let's say you work for a marketing agency, right? Work for a marketing agency or a firm, but you want to be posting just about them. You want to be posting about marketing in general because you have things that you can share. You have knowledge, you have skills and abilities that you want to share with the world, and passions about maybe, you know, personal branding or branding in general and marketing. And you're like, I have a huge passion for email marketing. Why don't you talk about those things? Like build a brand around email marketing and talk about sharing tips of what you've learned in your career, things like that. It doesn't have to be about your company. It could certainly benefit your company, but as they can see that that's where you work. But you should be posting about things that you are passionate about, because you are not your job only. You are a person who has passion, skills, and abilities that and expertise that you can share with the world. And what a great platform to do that. So one of the best ways I like to say is, so yes, you can post about your industry and or content. You can post about your company and or industry related content to your company, but also you could be doing it as a side hustle. I know lots of people that are posting stuff on LinkedIn or otherwise completely outside of their career, and they have a passion separately. You could be posting about that. It doesn't matter. It's still about, you know, you're sharing content in a specific industry, whether it's a passion of yours or it's part of your job. But let's say it's part of your job and you want to post content there and you want to advance your career and you want to be noticed. One of the best things that you could do, and this is because you may not have an ability, you may not have the chance to connect with the CEO or some other executive or some larger decision makers, and maybe you're part of a very large company and you're just one of many people, and it's hard to get heard. One of the best things that you can do, I like to tell people, is go add every decision maker in your company. And if it's particular in an area that you want to get into, genuinely connect with them on LinkedIn. Say, hey, John, hey, Mary, hey, Sue, notice you're part of X department of our company. Hey, just love to connect with you here and add, you know, build our community of folks here on LinkedIn. Looking forward to getting to know you better. And it's great to meet you. And maybe you've never met them before internally. Or maybe you've sent a few emails. Still, send them an email. Send them a personalized connect. Be very personalized about it, and customized. Just do that like 100, 200, 300 times to people in the company. And go add decision makers. And then the cool thing is just go post content about that industry or about things you want to get into, share your expertise. I guarantee you nobody in the company is doing it. So you're just building thought leadership already that way. Yeah. They're not going to see there every time that they open their phone, they're going to see you. And that could be 300 or 400 people. Every time they open your phone, their phone, they're going to be seeing you at the top of the newsfeed, you know, with videos, with the written, your written content. And because they have somewhat of a trust of you or an awareness of you at the company, they're going to take notice. And the numbers don't lie. There's 750 million users on LinkedIn approximately. Out of those 750 million users, about 350 million are posting content or sharing content. So that's, sorry, are active on LinkedIn. So, which is pretty crazy, which is, that's about half of LinkedIn. So you're saying like 350 million people out of 750, that's approximately, but it's about half of people are active, which means they log in once a month, which is what LinkedIn says, which is very active, but that's what LinkedIn says, which means half of the people on LinkedIn are literally just, they got an account, they show up twice a year. And then the other half are sharing articles. And this could be, this means they're active. They're logging once a month at least. Now, out of those 350 million people who are at least here once a month, how many of those 350 million people are sharing content? And I'm not saying like they're doing videos, they're doing lives like we're doing here. I'm saying they're doing the basic. They, you know, shared a picture of them sitting on the bench of their eating their lunch and saying, "What a beautiful day here at work," right? Or, "Hey, I'm at this networking event." Or they shared a Forbes article because it was interesting. That's not content necessarily always from them, but out of those 350 million people, the numbers are pretty crazy. Only 3 million people are creating content consistently and sharing content, any content, form of content. The rest are just, they're lurkers. They log in, they just scroll their feed, they check out some of the stuff, they do a lot of research, they read, but they're not generally commenting all the time, and they're not always posting. I thought, and I saw those numbers early on, it hasn't changed too much. It's probably between 3 and 4 million now, even like a year and a half later. Because there's just not a lot of, LinkedIn's adding a lot of users, but not a ton of people continuously posting content. So out of those 3 million people, how much do you think is actually good? Right. And, now the numbers could have changed, but, I went to LinkedIn headquarters in Toronto about just before the pandemic, probably about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years, 18 months ago. And when I was there, I was walking around, they gave me a tour of the place. And I got a chance to talk to one of the guys there. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, I've seen some numbers. I don't know if they're true, but some of them came from you, but I saw that only 3 million people are posting content out of like 350 million people." I said, "That seems a little high for me as well." Like, he's like, I don't really see many people posting videos and doing lives. And I said, I would say it's probably 1% of those people, the top 1%, really building strong communities, building strong brands, doing content. I said, "What do you think of that?" I said, "That's about 30,000 people." He says, "Yeah, I think that's probably shooting just a little high." And that was when it really blew me away to say, like, so you're telling me there's 30,000 people on LinkedIn, that's it, in the whole world, that are really building strong brands, building community, building a following. And I thought, that's a blue ocean. You know, Facebook, Instagram, there's a lot of saturated platforms. That's a blue ocean. And so I thought, what a better opportunity now for you to take it back to this is, if you're going to be adding people, you know, companies, decision makers, management, chiefs, whatever, people that you can get ahead, you know, and get noticed. Do you think people on their feed are posting videos and content and things like that after sharing some of those numbers? I doubt it, right? And LinkedIn wants to show organic content over anything else, right? Because they want to keep you on the platform. So by posting videos and content, writing about your industry, it's not that hard to do. Just got to do it. You're going to show up every single day on the top of their newsfeed. You're going to be that first person that they see, or second person generally. And, you know, that person's going to keep seeing you and be like, "Wow, this person's been sharing content for the last 3 months and they're really good at it. And they're building expertise and thought leadership." Then they'll go check you out and they'll be like, "I can't believe this person's just a coordinator or a specialist or whatever. This person has really strong leadership abilities. maybe you need to think about a promotion, right? Or what that could still do is create leverage for you. It could create leverage for that same industry from competitors, things like that, being like, wow, this person works here. They're underutilized. We need to scoop them up, right? And so it just opens up those so many different doors for you, posting content. So if I could say, like, just start, right? Videos maybe is a challenging one for people because they're a little bit afraid, but start writing, put a couple things out there, and just keep, you know, make it consistent, and keep it simple. And you'll find it just, you'll start getting some messages from people and you start building that following and you'll get some engagement and it just starts to snowball. It's like growing a snowball down a hill, and, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the road, you're like, how did I get here? So that's the opportunity with it in your career.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of really good nuggets in there. And I think, you know, when you say about starting to post, it doesn't have to be only about your business, your company, or what you do at work. It can be personal posts.
100%.
And from what I've seen, a lot of personal posts, particularly where people are showing some amount of vulnerability, get a lot of traction.
Yep.
Much more so than the business posts. And I hear people say it when I've seen it myself, when you post something that's more personal, it gets a hell of a lot more traction than a business post, a business related one.
Yep, 100%. And there's two words I like to use that really are good, strong community builders. It doesn't matter if it's LinkedIn. This is social media wide. And number one is character. So how do you build that thought, you know, that character profile of getting people to understand not just what you do, but who you are. And that character is, I can call it attractive character, because people like to, you know, if they're following somebody, they don't just buy from you, hire you just because of your job title, right? It's a lot of times really based off of who you are as well. So getting to share those types of things is absolutely, Layla, is key, because it builds people's awareness of who you are. And I like to say then the community comes in by following you is the second word I like to use to build the sort of, there's the know, like, and trust we talked about. The know is character, getting people to know you, what you do, and your character, your who. And then there's affinity, which is getting people to like you. And affinity really is getting people to assimilate with who you are and be like, that is on a similar, you know, that's on a similar track of me. Getting people to see a little bit of them in your story or in your post, whether it be vulnerability, transparency, maybe a struggle you had. And they're like, that was literally me like 6 months ago. And just like that, you build affinity with that audience and they feel like everything you share as well is a little bit of a reflection of them. And when you do that, that's when you just get people, you build a loyal following because, you know, they feel like they're getting something unique and valuable from every single one of your posts. And sometimes it's as little as getting people to understand the person that's on the other side of that phone or video screen. And if you can relate to them a little bit and create some affinity through that character, that's just how you build a strong following and the loyal following, not necessarily huge and big, but a very strong and engaging one.
Yeah. And I love what you say there about building that affinity. Cause I think, again, something I've noticed as well is having that resonance with people, because particularly if you see someone in the workplace or in your industry and you look up to them and think, oh, you know, I can't speak to them or they never want to have a conversation with me. But actually by people posting something a little bit more personal or about sharing an opinion, a point of view, as you say, bringing out their own character makes people that much more real, creates that resonance with people. So they're more likely to come towards you, as you said. And that's what you want. Personal brand is about having people want to gravitate towards you, not you having to go chase people. And the point you made earlier as well, I just touch upon, is where you gave a great example there of, you know, if you're an employee for an organization, to start posting, because more often than not, no one else is doing it. But also connecting with people in your organization or your industry so they keep seeing you when they log on.
Yep.
You're top of the feed. What that means is, and this is something I talk about a lot, is you want to be remembered for the right reasons, but you also want to be top of mind for those people that matter. In other words, the decision makers, the hiring managers, maybe the recruiters. So by connecting with those people and then posting, and it doesn't have to be every day, right? You could be posting once a week.
Yep.
On a news topic, if you follow, you know, LinkedIn even shares the latest news, you can grab one of the topics and just share a little bit, a couple of lines. It doesn't have to be, you know, you curate a whole long post. I think
the way LinkedIn restricts you anyway, you can't really write that much unless you're doing an article. But, you know, if you put a couple of lines, two or three lines, it's more likely to get read because people are scrolling all the time.
Yep.
But you're just in people's faces, just out there, and people subconsciously, they're aware of you. So then when it comes to that decision of looking for someone for your team or hiring someone, you're like, oh yeah, that person that, you know, I like what they stand for. I like what they talk about, what they're saying. Then they'll reach out to you, and that's what you want. You want opportunities to come to you.
Exactly. And that's huge. I think that a lot of people don't, they're a little afraid of like, what do I post? Like, I have this knowledge. What do I even talk about? You know, I think that there's an element of, you don't have to create every single piece of content that has to be original. You know, there's a lot of great writers out there that go look at, like, if your topic is on, I don't know, personal finance or something, like, go see some articles, go see some personal finance experts articles on, you know, Forbes or, you know, Social Media Examiner, or I don't know, like, what do people post about on personal finance? You could be like on, you know, Wall Street Journal or something. Go find a writer. And this is like the easiest hack you can do. You can go search any article, like five top personal finance tips for this year. Right. And we'll share it on the Wall Street Journal. You can see every single writer on that, on, you know, public writer, like that actually has contributed to that magazine or that publication. And the interesting thing is, like, 90% of writers are on LinkedIn. Like, I've connected with hundreds of people that are writers, media personalities doing that. Like, go find someone that's, let's say you're in personal finance, that's talking about personal finance or has a great article about it. And you're like, I could share this. You know, I couldn't come up with this myself. Well, you don't have to. Why don't you share? Hey, here's five personal finance tips for this year. You know, I read a great article by blah, 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 blah. And this, here's the five tips. Number one, do this. Number two, do this. And just talk about the five. And then, like, at the end of your post, just be like, thanks, you know, Jody Smith for the great read. You know, hey, leaving the link in the comments on LinkedIn, leaving a link to the article in the comments or something like that. Right. Yeah. And then people can read it if they want, but you're doing two things. Like, you're building, content library that wasn't even yours, and you're leveraging the connection of someone in that industry as well. And they're going to comment and be like, wow, you did an original video on my article. Like, thank you so much. Right. Yeah. And then you just keep doing that over and over. And then through that thought leadership brand that you're building on personal finance, maybe in a year's time, they're going to, like, you know, we need an article. I think you'd be a perfect fit. Like, we'd love to feature you. Happens more than you think, because writers are looking for content, right? Or you can go to them and say, hey, I have an idea for a great article for the Wall Street Journal. I think it'd be perfect, right? And they built that trust with you because they remember you through that piece of content. And so you don't always have to have original content as well. Just find ways that you can leverage the voices of others to repurpose and share for your community as well.
Amazing. Totally, totally agree. And I think, you know, again, so much good advice here. And just a question there on the back of that is, for a lot of my audience who are in the tech industry, what would you say to them? Because I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking, well, if they're in a particular area of tech, for example, let's say coding as an example, because I'm seeing a lot of posts about coding at the moment, particularly girls in code, right? So, what is a good way to leverage that? It's like, go find someone who's talking about it a lot, who's you know, seen as, you know, a leader in that field. And when they share something about it, then comment on it, share it, have a point of view, right?
Yep, 100%.
Connection, but you also sharing some of your character, some of your point of view, your opinion on something.
Yep, I did that a lot, and this could be tech or otherwise. I did a lot of that resharing of content from writers, other people that are in the tech space already creating content, because you may find there's like 10, 20 people maybe already in the tech space that are, you know, very well known. Maybe they speak on stages, things like that, and they are they're already sharing this stuff. So go and add those people and see what content they're posting as well. And then, yeah, maybe do a post like about a content, that piece of content that they posted about. Maybe it's an update in your industry, or, you know, I don't know, a piece of information that's brand new that that your audience would love. And post about that, tag them, and then even tag other people I like to say is bring other people into the conversation, bring other tech thought leaders that maybe could have a good opinion. Don't do like 50 people because that just looks like a big block of tags. Add like 5 people. Be like, hey, you know, tag 5 people and be like, maybe you've connected with them. Be like, hey, I know I love the stuff that you've been posting. You're thought leaders in the tech space. You know, what are your thoughts on this? Right. And just encourage that conversation back and forth as well. They genuinely love talking about things that they love to talk about. So, and I'm sure nobody else is tagging them, asking for their thoughts as well. So it's a good chance for you to, again, build that affinity, right? They'll know all this person's in the tech space or they're creating content about it. But and I mean, another one too is just doing what you're doing, but doing lives, have a podcast. You don't even have to have a podcast. You can really just do like, you don't have to even do a live. You can just do, I create recorded videos and it's 10 minutes long and we just post them on LinkedIn once a week. Right. And you could brand it if you want, like tech TV or something, like tech influencer TV or tech thought leader TV. I don't know. And do like a series. Right. And go invite people, because the cool thing is when you're asking for other folks to do an interview with you, things like that, you're serving them, like you're giving them reach and the audience attraction. Right. You're saying like, hey, I have an audience of 5,000 people or 1,000 people, and we're growing in the tech space. I have a lot of tech folks in, you know, San Francisco or wherever it is, and say, we'd love to interview you on, we're doing a topic on XYZ. I noticed that's your expertise. Would love to interview over a quick, you know, 30 minute prep, and then a 10 minute, a recorded video that we can use for LinkedIn. Just sharing some super helpful tips. Let me know if you have any availability in the next couple of weeks. Love to set something up, right? People are like, sure. Yeah. Like, sounds good. Especially if they're, you know, I'm not saying they have a million followers, right? If they have a million followers, they probably get these requests all the time. But if they're like an executive in one of a larger tech company, maybe they're not doing podcasts and stuff all the time. Now, I'm not saying go reach out to, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or something crazy like that. Go find someone in like a growing tech industry space. And you maybe want to talk to them. But the cool thing is they have people in the tech space, if they like can comment on it, their audience will see it. And you're using you're leveraging again, other, like I said, just with the Incredibles article, you're leveraging other people's networks, creating content from them and building at the same time, affinity and, that trust factor with them, because you're interviewing them. They're going to remember you, and maybe a perfect opportunity comes up and they need to do a podcast and they're, you know, it's in the tech space and they have no one to do this. And they thought you'd be perfect. Maybe they reach out to you, right? You never know. And I think that's just the opportunities that come from attaching yourself to people with larger voices than you.
Yeah. Brilliant advice. Really, really like invaluable. And I really hope people are listening. If you have any questions for Fabio, please pop them in the comments. And, you know, let us know what your takeaways are from this. What are you going to go and do with all of this information that Fabio is sharing? Because it's gold. It really is. Carl, hello there. How you doing? Hi, Fabio as well. Great discussion. First time in checking and wanting to show some love to your show. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Carl. And hi, Hazel. Hope you're still on. Thank you for hopping on. Great to see you. And so, Fabio, just looking, I've got so many questions here and I think we've covered so much already. Tell me why is your online reputation important? Because people might be listening to this thinking, well, I don't need to do that. I'm in a job. I'm not looking on the job market. Does it really matter? Because what you've been sharing isn't a 2-minute job either. You know, it does require an element of investment of time and energy to do this. So why is your online reputation important, do you think?
Well, I think that, anytime, you know, you look for somebody, maybe you going on a date, going to an interview, like you're going to Google that person. It happens. People are going to do that all the time. We live in a world of information that's so open. People want to see what you look like. People want to see what you share. It never used to be like that because we didn't have this at our fingertips. So your online reputation is so important, and how you show up, because it is who you are. It's a part of who you are, because social media it's not going anywhere. Your online reputation is just as important as your in-person reputation. And if you don't have any presence on social media, like they're probably going to ask why. Most people do, right? And so if you, you know, you have to, it's a good way to control the thoughts, opinions about yourself, about your brand, of people, how people perceive you, allows you to create a communication channel to people that don't know you, right? And so it's just so important because people are going to Google you, people are going to search you, whether you're looking for a job, going on a date, it doesn't matter. People are going to Google you, search you on social media, definitely for a job on LinkedIn. That's going to be one they do look at first. But also like the world, if you're maybe you're in a job, but you want to advance your career. Listen, if you're in a job and you're happy, like, and you're like, I don't really need to do this, then totally fine. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, there's no forcing of like having to do this, but it's for people that want to grow and they want to stand out. Like, this is the best way to do that. And so, it's for people that are in a space that they want to leverage more awareness and growth. And maybe you're looking for a better job. Sweet. A paper on a resume is not going to cut it these days. Is it still relevant? Yes. Is it going to be relevant in the future? I don't know about that. Like, I have mixed opinions on that because I just think that you can see so much more about what people are doing versus what they've done 5 to 7 years ago. I speak so much more volumes if you're creating content, thought leadership, posting about being very current with the knowledge of your industry and you're sharing that. That's invaluable because it shows that you're a learner, it shows that you're a doer, an action taker. And I think that's it speaks one of the biggest volumes of if you're posting content. Mm-hmm. I know if I was a decision maker and I had two candidates, pretty similar, but one's got a strong online presence or posting videos, content, and the other doesn't have really any presence at all. I'm taking the one with presence online all day, every day of the week. That's where things are going, and I can tap into that skill and that potential. So that's why it's just so important, your online reputation if you're in your career. And at the same time, like, you know, there's if you're in your career and you want to grow, like it's the fastest way to get attention. You know, you can go, you know, meet people for coffee. You can go do whatever you can. And I've done those things, right? It's totally fine. It helps build rapport, but yeah. This just helps you to build trust faster with a lot more people and outside your industry. Like you said, Leila, yeah. Go add people in the tech space at other companies, people that are well known in that space. There's no networking event that I can sign up with in person that's going to trump being able to do that online. And that's why it's just so powerful that, you can be seen by the masses, one to many versus one to one. And when you do that, like I said, you just open so many more doors of opportunity for you. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, your online reputation is not built overnight, right? And you know this, Leila, right? Like, it's not built. You can't build your LinkedIn presence and you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to have like 10,000 followers and like tomorrow, right? It's going to take time. And you got there's a commitment to it, right? Like you said, there's a time investment and commitment to it. And I think people got to be a little bit realistic on like it's going to take a little bit of time, but the investment into it is going to be huge. And you've probably said this before. This is one of my favorite analogies of personal branding, and this goes with LinkedIn as well. You know, it's like the Chinese bamboo tree. You probably heard of this, right? The Chinese bamboo tree. Its seed grows underground for 5 years, right? And I don't know if about you, but my wife's a gardener. If she told me like this seed, this vegetable, this tomato plant, if I plant it, we're gonna get something in 5 years, I'd be like, okay, no thanks, right? But it's you gotta be realistic in that like a Chinese bamboo tree, it takes 5 years, the seed grows underground once it's planted. Now this may not take 5 years for you, but in terms of building your presence online, but the Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years to grow underline, but once it surfaces, it grows 90 feet in the first 6 weeks. So that's crazy tall. Like in 6 weeks, it just shoots up like insane amount. And after growing for 5 years, such a short span, just over a month, it grows like the size of like a forest pretty much of bamboo, right? And that's just a good example of an analogy of that's what your personal brand's like, especially on LinkedIn. It builds that community, but it's like you're building this over time. It may take 12, 18, 24 months, but then you're going to find like at the end of that time, wow, I'm so thankful I put that investment in. Look at all these doors of opportunity that opened. And that was because your online reputation, while it's good to have a presence, it takes time to really build a strong one and a recognizable one. And it's got to be consistent. But when you do, the opportunities are massive. And you'll just find like, it's going to be like that bamboo tree. You shoot up, you know, in 6 weeks, you're just going to see all these opportunities hit you. You're like, I don't know what happened or where this came from, but I never had this before when I did nothing. So that's one of the keys to online reputation.
Yeah. And again, I love the analogy there. And a couple of points is, one of the things I always say to people is your LinkedIn profile is not your CV.
Yep. 100%.
It's like your sales page, your shop window. Would you agree with that?
Yep. 100%. Like, I tell people all the time, I mean, there's a few steps to really building LinkedIn. I think your profile, number one, is the foundation. Like, you've got to treat it as that's where people go. That's where people learn about you and check you out. Like, even before content, you need to optimize your profile the proper way, right? And don't just put, like, you know, sales representative at so-and-so company underneath your name. Like, that's not just who you are. Like, what are you passionate about? Like, sales, you know, sales leader, sales expert, or passionate about sales and marketing, or whatever. Like, just give it a little bit more context. Hmm. Put a little bit of humanized element in there, right? A little bit of influence, right? As much as you can. And utilize, like, your cover photo. You know, don't just put, like, you know, the cityscape of the city that you're in. Please don't do that. Like, put in a photo of yourself. Maybe invest in, and it might be a good thing to invest in some sort of photography. It's not a huge cost to some people, and people will do it post-pandemic. People are doing it for a lot less than they were now because they're not doing weddings for a lot of places, right? And so maybe get someone that has a good camera, and you can find a lot of people with good cameras these days. Shoot some really good photography of you, and even get a great headshot, because you need to have a good headshot for your profile. Like, that's key. Don't do, like, a full body shot. Yeah, try to do, like, a headshot, because, you know, when you're commenting and stuff, it's a very small photo. Just fill your profile, and then your headline, which is underneath your name, make sure you add more context in terms of some of the passions that you have. Think about the keywords of your industry as well, right? If you want to get into a specific space, what do you need to put in there? Don't just put the position that you are, because you're more than just your job title. And then your description, get people to know who you are, create that character in there, your story, what you want to do, why you're here on LinkedIn, who you're serving. And that's how you really build and optimize that profile. So once that's done, then you can start adding people, relevant people in the industry, genuinely adding people. Then it goes to building content. You can do the, you know, step two and three synonymously, because you can add people and do content at the same time. And then, you know, step four is, what are you going to do with that content? What's the action step? Is there, you know, is it sales, right? Or is it a job, right? If it's a specific person that you build rapport with, maybe after 6 months of talking to those people or adding them or seeing, engaging on their content, maybe go sit down with them and have a more one-on-one conversation with their company or organization. Like, make some of those steps actionable, because sometimes people are so busy, they're not always going to come to you. Some will, but it might take you to actually step out, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I've been seeing you on, you know, last 6 months posting videos and content. Yeah, absolutely. Let's have a quick chat over Zoom, right? And those are things that open up opportunities as well. So whatever that action step is for you, career-wise, business-wise, it doesn't matter. You know, take that action step to make some of those connections in real life happen.
Yeah. Wow. So much. Again, so many nuggets there. And a question, this is something I shared with a few people before, is that if you're in the job market, okay, and you might just tidy up your CV a little bit, sorry, your LinkedIn a little bit, and it looks like a CV, or it's very light in terms of information, and then you reach out to somebody and say, oh, you know, I know that you know this person in this company. Would you mind just putting in a word for me? I'd like to have a conversation with them about opportunities they might have. In my mind, the first thing, so if someone comes to me and asks me to do that, and I go to my contact and say, oh, you know, there's this guy, he's really great at what he does. I really think you should have a chat with him, you know, be a great fit for your organization. What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to Google this person. They're going to look at their LinkedIn, right?
Yep.
So my point here is that if you're going to reach out, and so I believe that people love to help and people love to support. And I'm someone who loves to connect people where I can see that, you know, there's some synergies, or there's a way, a great connection opportunity there for somebody. But at the same time, obviously you're asking a favor by asking for help. Yep. Not to say you need something in return. However, you're asking someone to do something on your behalf and to help you out. My belief is that you've got to help yourself first by ensuring that you have a strong profile. Because if I refer person A to my contact and they have a very light profile,
yep,
then it's a reflection of me now to that person that I've spoken to, my contact, to say, look at, and they're like, why have you referred this person to me? Like, they've not even completed their LinkedIn, right? They've not made any effort yet. You want me to talk to them. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I think your online reputation it goes beyond just, you know, the content you share, things like that. It's also what other people think about you, even if they don't know you yet, right? So I am in the same boat. If I am referring somebody else that somebody asks me to, I'm going to make sure I check that person out to make sure that if I'm, and generally I have a policy where I only refer people if I genuinely know them, or a little bit about them, right? I've seen them over there. Like, there's a little bit of rapport built, because I don't want to refer anybody, you know, if I don't know their exact skills or their abilities, right? But 100%, you definitely want to check out their LinkedIn. And by having it completed, at least having like a professional headshot, it shows like there's more, I can feel more comfortable sending that profile over, because I know that, you know, recruiter or manager or whatever is going to look at it and not be like, this is the candidate you're sending my way. Right. Right. So I think that's a key. Whereas by building that out first, having that, looking professional, you're going to at least double your chances to getting, you know, more conversations with people. And because people are going to be like, wow, like people also want to think, what's in it for me? Right. Same with the manager, right? They're like, this is my time, my effort. Does it make sense to, you know, reach out to this person? Am I going to get a valuable person, or am I just going to get another person to add to my pile, right? And I think that when you can send someone their way where they're like, wow, nobody else has a profile that looks like this, or, you know, it looks very professional, it's well filled out, you know, they got recommendations and skills, and, you know, and LinkedIn's great at like telling you what your profile needs left. Like, it's tells you if it's complete or not complete. And it's always, you know, giving you, you know, hey, fill this out, add more. Right. And so just add as much as you can, you know, recommendations and skills and, you know, work experience and, community experience and education, fill it all out, because the more you do that, you know, media links and contacts, all that stuff that you can add to it as well, you know, all that stuff's going to be really helpful for get people to understand and see who you are. So couldn't agree more. Fill it out completely. You're at least going to double your chances, if not more, to have more conversations with people, because people want to send contacts to those that they know might actually get a good shot at getting a conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And you mentioned earlier about being called out on like conferences and stuff by Jay Shetty. So tell me, how do you feel about being featured by Jay Shetty as a top LinkedIn profile to follow?
Yeah, I was honestly, came as a surprise to me. It's funny. I was with my family in Chicago. We went on a trip to Chicago, and I woke up in the morning, and this is just a great story of how important connection is. And I'm not talking to Jay Shetty. I'm talking to other people. So obviously, if you don't know Jay, he's probably one of the most viewed people on the internet today. His videos have been viewed more than, I think it's like 5 billion times collectively, with a B. Yeah, a B. I'm like, oh, I've been viewed 10 million times. That's like one video for him. 5 billion times. He's grown a community of, I don't know, 30 million plus people. And yeah, he's just really grown a strong audience. He's featured on Ellen, and, you know, he's really built a strong brand, one of the world's most strongest brands. And I caught him at a probably good time where LinkedIn was not an area of focus for him. But I think at the same time, like, I just showed up, I served, and asked anything of him other than saying, hey, I want to feature you to my growing audience on LinkedIn. Yeah, I'm not trying to sell you anything or anything like that. I just want to lift you up. And then I also, in other posts, asked for his, you know, tagged him and asked for some, you know, hey, what do you think of this? So there's previous engagement also, not just one article. I try to continuously foster that relationship. I sent him a note. He had his email. So if he launched his podcast, I sent him a note. Hey, super awesome job on the podcast. Congrats, man. Like, just want to say all the best of luck. It looks amazing. Keep it going. Right. Just sending, you know, trying to build a continuous rapport as well. And so, yeah, I think that helped in it as well. And obviously then when we did the article and the interview, I showed up in a way that was valuable as well. Like to him, he's like, well, that was just great information. And then I had an audience growing. So he saw some of the engagement afterwards once we shared, once I shared it out. And then, so yeah, so I went with my family to Chicago. I woke up in the morning, I know it was the weekend or something. And I saw a message from a connection of mine. Her name was Lucan Mehrabi. She just wonderful, wonderful woman. We've been connected for a very small amount of time. She's a friend, we've been connected a very small amount of time. I would say weeks, if that. We had engaged in a few pieces of content, things like that. So she had seen me. We had engaged at least as a personal connection. I said, "Hey, you know, Lucan, great to love to connect with you. Seen a couple pieces of your content. Hey, we'd love to add each other here on LinkedIn and get to know each other better, right?" Something very simple like that. Got to know each other a little bit through some posts. And I got a message from her. And she had said, "Hey, Fabio, I just wanted to say I was at a private workshop for Jay Shetty in Dubai. And he was talking about LinkedIn and he pulled up your profile. And he shared with everybody, like, you're one of the best examples to follow with here on LinkedIn. Hey, I shot a video of him doing it and I shot a picture and I'll send it to you." And she sent it to me. And I thought, here I am halfway across the world. And I never would have known he would have done that. And ever, because he did it privately. He didn't tell me like, "Hey, can I feature you?" Or he just did it organically. And it just so happened that a connection of mine who I just connected with in a small room of people was there at that moment. And at the same time, remembered me enough genuinely to actually take out her phone and take a video and or snap a picture, barely knowing her at all. Number one, that's on her for being just an amazing human being. But number two, I think that was also a testament to some of the relationship we built prior to the rapport for her to think of me and then do that. And I can't tell you how powerful that's been for my business. That was probably the best testimony I've ever had. And it's built just amazing rapport with so many people and trust instantly. And I like that. That's a testament, not just to Jay, but also to a connection like Lucen. And I thought that's a connection, an additional connection who just happened to be in the room, and you never know what could happen, right? You never know what's going to happen in your career, and in your life, who you're going to meet or what stepping stones or connections you're going to make that are going to just give you so many opportunities. And that was one of them. And I thought, that's the power of even one connection and a strong relationship. And if I can get something like that, you can absolutely get someone to recommend you for a job as well.
Yeah, totally. And again, on the back of that, something I always say to people is you never know who's watching.
Yep.
You know, it's not a lot of the likes and the loves and the comments and all of that is great. At the same time, who's actually watching? And you mentioned earlier about the millions of people who are lurkers on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And it's interesting for me because a lot of people who do reach out to me by direct message or email are defined lurkers. They don't post. They Yep. don't necessarily engage and interact. But I've had clients come to me who are perceived lurkers. So they've never once commented or liked anything. And then they reach out and they know everything I've been posting, all that I've been talking about or my podcast or whatever. To have a conversation. So I think an important thing here, because you've talked a lot about engaging on LinkedIn, but also posting,
yep.
is people to remember that it's not about the likes and the comments only, because yes. people will still be seeing what you're doing. I've had, catch-ups with former colleagues, and we've got on a call, and they tell me about everything I've been doing. Like, "Oh yeah, I've seen you done," and I'm like, "Oh," and I'm thinking, "I've never seen you comment or like."
Yep. Exactly. So,
it's really about you never know who's watching. And then what you just shared, there's an amazing example of both connection, about relationships, and yeah, fantastic.
It is. It's you never know who's watching. I've had people where a couple of years ago, I did one where actually I was speaking to a group of people. I got paid to do a speaking engagement and I was talking about LinkedIn and I just stopped while I was talking. I was like, and I was talking exactly like that. You never know who's watching. And I went to the gentleman who hired me and I went, "Dan," and I said, "for everyone watching," I said, "how did we meet on LinkedIn? Have you ever engaged, liked, commented on any one of my posts?" He's like, "No, never." I'm like, "but you've seen it." He's like, "yep." He's like, but you've never liked or commented or anything. He's like, no, never. And I said, and then I turned around and I said, that's just the value of, he just paid me to come speak to you about LinkedIn. He's never, ever liked or commented any one of my stuff, but he has seen it. And here I am getting hired to do something for you. And I said, that's the power of LinkedIn. And that, like, yeah, there are a lot of lurkers. Maybe they're not like the commenting and liking type, but they have decision-making abilities and they would be able to hire you. They'd be able to pay for you for consulting, coaching, service-based piece. Maybe you're doing something on the side. Cool. Doing that as well. Like there's, it just opens up, like I said, so many of those doors, and that's the power of LinkedIn.
Yeah, totally. I'm conscious of time, Fabio, and I think we could probably talk for another hour quite easily and maybe look at doing something again at some point. But I'd like to thank you absolutely for today, for the amount of nuggets you have shared, pure gold in terms of how to leverage LinkedIn, you know, how to make it work for you and to create those opportunities, those possibilities, which for me is what it's all about. Your personal brand is so important to open up those doors, and you never know what's possible. You don't know who's watching.
Yep. Thanks, Leah. I really appreciate the time. It's been just such a pleasure talking with you and to your audience.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And remember to leave a review telling us about your key learnings and what you enjoyed the most. And do share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can spread the word on the importance of personal branding when it comes to your career advancement. And also ensure that others can benefit from these invaluable insights from many inspirational leaders. I will be eternally grateful. And if you are looking to earn more money, to get promoted, to secure your next role and advance your career, and would like me to support you personally on that journey to get you there, then reach out to me and let's arrange a chat. Alternatively, why don't you check out my Personal Branding Launchpad, a group training and mentoring program. Finally, if you'd like to connect with me directly, then do reach out and direct message me on LinkedIn. You can find the link as well as any other resources mentioned in the show notes. I'll see you next time.